Hello, everyone. Today is Winning Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. Welcome to 411 Sports World Podcast, sponsored by freeliquor.com, where you can get your liquor for free. Today's episode, we're going to cover the physical and very tough AFC North division. I'm accompanied by my usual suspects, Lady D and Zach.
Oh, dog.
How's it going?
Hi there. This is Lacey.
It's awesome.
How you doing?
Lacey and Zach. Today was a very intriguing day in sports. Anything in particular that you've heard today?
This is Lacey. As a continuation from yesterday, things are still not good in New York. Well, they're not good downstate in New York. Upstate New York, things are picking up quite a bit. The young man that clocked Geno and put him out for basically the rest of the season, apparently Rex Ryan decided that was somebody he wanted to have on his team. So he picked him up. Employed the young man, which is not altogether a bad thing, but now he has a home in Buffalo apparently, which is a slight downgrade in the city. Sorry, all you Buffalo fans, but it is definitely an upgrade on the as far as the roster that he's going to, and so I'm trying to be happy for the young man. I'm happy that he's employed and has some opportunity to make $600 this week, but it doesn't help us much downstate. But I have to say that I'm kind of glad to see that. Although it does feel like Rex has given the Jets the finger by his actions.
Well,
any thoughts of that?
I gotta agree with you that Rex Ryan is giving the Jets the finger because. I'm sure he's still got a little animosity about everything that happened, and he probably doesn't have too much love for Geno Smith, because if Geno Smith had played better, Rex would still be the head coach of the New York Jets.
Excellent point.
I guess what I find more interesting is that as more details come out, first off, it's a shame that the Jets are trying to spin this and make this guy look like a bad guy. And I said yesterday, send the punch them, you can't punch the quarterback. You just really can't punch the quarterback.
Right.
But even with the details that came out today, I still say that. And, it's disappointing, and you guys hit on it yesterday. Geno Smith just doesn't get it. And nobody around him is helping him get it, because I didn't realize Geno Smith made $1 million a year. I thought he was around $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. But what I heard today is he makes $1 million and he gets incentives. So I think I said yesterday that $600 would be like $20 to one of us, but now it looks like it's almost like
a quarter.
And this guy, I mean, he couldn't give it. And this just kind of shapes his personality and why he has issues. Because
yeah.
IK seems like he did everything that you could reasonably ask someone to do when you've given someone some money or done something for someone and they didn't fulfill their end of the deal and you're trying to get your money back. He talked to Geno about it when Geno missed the camp and I almost wonder now, because now what I heard today was it was Geno's brother's best friend that was killed. So it doesn't mean it wasn't Geno's friend. Geno might have known. Maybe Geno was going to support his brother, which is cool. But Geno missed the camp. So,
and he missed it, and he didn't even – it's not like he called and told him or anything. They only found out he wasn't coming when he didn't show up.
Seriously?
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that today. That just adds to that. So now you didn't show up. So you didn't even have the courtesy – as I have told individuals that we got all this technology, how hard is it to send a text?
Yeah.
And if you knew the brother died, did you find out the best friend died as you was walking on the plane and you say, oh, can't go to this place. I got to go ahead and go support my brother. So you knew about it. You just didn't have the courtesy in you to, I guess, let the sixth-round pick know. But obviously, that guy let that go. So you're making this story even worse, Lacey. Then he gets to camp. They've been in camp anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. And he said, hey, you missed the camp, everything, but no big deal. But can I get back the $600 that you gave me?
Exactly.
No problem. I'll get it back to you. Okay. So he lets that go for 2-3 weeks. Now it's been 2-3 weeks. Geno is making $1 million a year. Hasn't given him this $600. It's like 60 cents to him. I'm sure Geno's even gone to the ATM or what have you. He probably could have pulled the money out at some point and got it to the guy, but he just hasn't for whatever reason. So now once again, the guy comes over to him, I'm assuming in the locker room, and ask him, and maybe like the schoolyard thing, I kind of said it yesterday, he says it in front of people, and he's probably a little perturbed because I've asked you for my money and given you plenty of time to get it when you probably have it in your account, and you haven't made it a priority, and we see each other every day.
Yeah.
So now I ask you, and Geno is upset or what have you, that you asked me for $600 in front of everybody, so I ain't giving you your little funky $600. You'll get it for me when you get it for me. Puts his hand in his face, and what you going to do about it anyway? At that point, I'm still going to say, you don't hit me quarterback. But Geno did everything to say, punch me in the face, and that's what IK did. And I don't condone it, but I definitely understand it. Because you didn't challenge it. What else is he supposed to do? You didn't turn this whole issue from about money, because really it ain't about the $600 because you got the money. It's about whatever else you're trying to prove. And to me, that just, you know, when you're a leader on the team, you're supposed to look out for the young guy, take care of the young guy. You should be ingratiating yourself to people. And in this situation, Geno Smith didn't do that. And then when we go back to last year, I guess the education at the University of West Virginia isn't that good, because Geno can't figure out when he gets out of one time zone what the time is, so he misses a meeting. And then we add that he said at one point, well, I wasn't really studying my playbook that well, but you're trying to be the star quarterback enough. So if I'm Todd Bowles, I wouldn't care how much ability this guy has. I don't want him to be my quarterback because I can't trust him. And I don't want him, and even outside of trusting him, I just don't want him to represent me. I really don't.
Yeah.
Because you look at guys like Peyton or Brady or, you know, those are individuals, when you look at them, they're the figurehead of your organization. It looks really good for you. And that's why I said, I feel bad for you, Lacey. Jets fans have a guy like this that for $600 funky-ass dollars. He's gonna miss 10 weeks and lose a starting opportunity because he wanted to be cute and get smart with a guy.
Yeah.
Well,
and I know I went a little long on that, but that's just crazy to me.
Well, I feel like this. Lacey, I don't feel sorry for you.
Really?
Yeah. Yesterday I did, but today I don't.
Today,
all the breaking news that has come within the last 24 hours,
did
everything to validate how I initially felt about the situation. Geno had the perfect opportunity as a young quarterback in the National Football League, a rare opportunity that, you know, is only 30 starters that can start in the NFL, as a quarterback in the NFL in the world. And
32, but okay.
You know, well, there's a couple teams I'm not counting. But because Aaron Rodgers and Luck are not going anywhere.
That's true.
Peyton Manning is on the clock with his neck. But I do understand what you're saying, Mr. Zach. But he had a perfect opportunity.
Why don't I get sympathy?
This is the season where he would have been the man. But what he did was just show you that he's not the man. So don't worry about it. He could have smoothed that entire situation over. All he had to do was just let IK know, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. However, you know, here's your 600. Matter of fact, here's 1200. Take the extra six and, you know, put it towards your camp.
Okay.
You know,
okay,
I'll come back. I'll come back the next year. Yeah. Also, when there was a confrontation, instead of de-escalating, he escalated. Hand to the face, and you owe the man money. You asking for a knockout punch.
All right. This sounds very similar to yesterday. Now I'm trying to figure out how come I suddenly don't have any sympathy.
Well, you shouldn't, because if this is going to be your quarterback, why do you want to have to deal with that? Exactly. So no sympathy. Don't worry about it. Fitzpatrick's there. He can't be any worse than Geno. So you also have two of the best corners in the league. You have, you know, a pretty tough defensive line and a good defensive coordinator / head coach. So the Jets will be in game. All you want to do is sit back and just pray that Fitzpatrick throws for 250 yards a game, give you a touchdown or two, and maybe limit himself to maybe, you know, an interception a game, you know, at the worst case scenario. And you should be fine. The Jets should at least hover around that 500 mark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as representation, you know, let's find out and let the fans know who's going to represent the AFC North. Will it be the Baltimore Ravens? Will it be the Cincinnati Bengals, Pittsburgh Steelers? But first, let's cover the Cleveland Browns. Some key additions there. Well, there's some key additions there with Dwayne Bowe, Josh McCown. And the Cleveland Browns, despite finishing last year with a 7-9 record, they had one of the worst offenses in the league. They were 32nd in adjusted rushing and 26th in adjusted passing. So Cleveland, despite hovering around 500, it seems like there's a lot of work there to be done. Lacey? Give us some strengths, weaknesses, and, you know, some projections there in Cleveland.
Cleveland. Well, Cleveland is one of those places, it's hard to get excited about it. You know, they're just not doing what it takes to get to the next level. I understand that they're stuck with Manziel, and so since they understand it, they brought in some more mediocre in Josh McCown. But it's somebody that can at least take the field, I guess.
There you go.
They brought in. I mean, I was reading this today and laughing as I read it. They brought in Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline to replace Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron. They brought in Rob Housler, Miles Austin. I'm just looking at. Okay, if pound for pound, Dwayne Bowe a real replacement for Josh Gordon? I guess the two of Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline together a replacement for Josh Gordon. It just doesn't add up, you know. But I realize that there's not a lot they can do about him. But it's just kind of when you put it down on paper, it's pretty comical.
Wow.
They've got. I was reading about their training camp about the running backs and the running backs. Coach or coordinator, whatever you call that, he had a very terse and statement saying that he was talking about all of them, I think except for Crowell, that they showed up out of shape and just not ready to play, and he was just very unhappy. That does not bode well for a team that is basically rudderless at the quarterback position to have a bunch of washed up. Really, truly washed up receivers. They've got Brian Hartline. I don't even know why you would pay that man. I don't understand. When you have Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel, your choices at quarterback. That is really, really, you know, just not doing a good. And now, honestly, Dwayne Bowe is somebody who has been. At least for fantasy purposes, and actually in real life, he has something left in the tank, I believe. But you know, when you got when you just have such a mediocre core of receivers, any benefit that you're going to get from Dwayne Bowe is going to be taken away when they just double cover him.
Right.
You know, so you know, the hit that they're taking because of Josh Gordon is still reverberating through that organization, and it's just a shame. But when I look at the running back situation, you know, they're okay. Nothing outstanding going on there. They have a decent defense, which I think will help them a lot. But we talked yesterday about the AFC South and how their schedule was relatively weak. Well, that is not the case for these guys. This is a tough schedule they have. First of all, they have to play in their own division. So they're going to get a double dose of Cincy, of Baltimore, of Pittsburgh. All of those they're going to get twice. Then they're going to get Seattle and San Francisco and Arizona. I think it's St. Louis in that division. Then once they get done with that, they got some Kansas City, some San Diego, well, Oakland, and then they got Denver. So it's like, how are they supposed to win? Who are they supposed to beat? That is a tough schedule. I don't want to play Baltimore twice or Pittsburgh twice. Even if they're not who they were, they still got enough of that, you know, hanging around to really be hard to beat. And so Cleveland,
they have those teams have a tough pedigree.
They do, but Cleveland has a really uphill battle this year. You know, with their own division and then with
Where do you see them falling in the division?
I'm thinking. If they get to 5-11, that's a win for them. They're going to have to sort out their quarterback situation. And McCown is not the answer, and Manziel. And they're going to have to get Manziel ready. That's my opinion. They're going to have to get him ready, and that is going to cost them this year.
Wow.
But it's something they're going to have to do. I think the reality for them is more like 4-12. But 5-11 is a possibility. But if I had to go on record, just one or the other, I would say 4-12 because Manziel has got to get involved.
Wow. So. Mr. Zach?
And for fantasy purposes, not a lot going on here. Crowell, you know, the running back,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, Isaiah? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Out of Carver High School from Columbus, Georgia, and he went to the University of Georgia.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I didn't know that, but he's a yes. He's a thumbs
Coach
up.
Coach Dale McGee, who is a good buddy of Tyrone and mine, but keep going.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I won't hold that against him. He still gets a thumbs up. But Dwayne Bowe, I would take a chance on him because they got to throw it to somebody.
Okay.
The rest of them, there's nobody I would draft before garbage time. And garbage time is like rounds like 12 through 15, depending on your league. You know, right. The only people I would draft before round 10 are Dwayne Bowe and Crowell. That's about it. Their defense is okay, but nothing outstanding. So that's my take on Cleveland. I stand at 4-12.
4-12. It's time for Zach Attack.
Well, the good thing for Cleveland is time travel has been invented, and they were able to go back 2 years in the past and get McCown that had an outstanding season with the Chicago Bears. And that fixes their quarterback issue, so they're going to be pretty good because time travel has been invented, correct, Tyrone, for Mr. 411?
It has been what now?
Hasn't been invented yet. Oh, it's not invented yet?
not that I know of.
Only in your mind.
I thought that's why they got McCown, because they're going to be very bad. Another fan base that really loves their team, kind of like the Jets, that we'll get to later on, and they're going to suffer through a horrible season.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go with strength, they have some really good pieces and building blocks. So, unfortunately for the head coach and probably the GM, Ray Farmer, they're not going to be there to see this come to fruition. But they have some good building blocks. Joe Hayden, one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay.
Bo is actually, he's an average wide receiver. I mean, he's not bad, but he's average. And he's perfect to be a number two if Josh Gordon was going to be playing. But since he's going to be sitting at home with us, maybe we can get him on the podcast watching football this year. Dwayne Bowe is going to have to get number one, which makes this a little more difficult now. Because Hartline is not a bad guy if he was a three instead of a two. And then you add in Joe Thomas, a left tackle, is one of the better left tackles in the NFL. And also Danny Shelton that they drafted out of Washington, or the University of Washington, I should say, is a good foundation piece for a defensive line to help build. They got some good outside linebackers. So they have some pieces. Unfortunately, they don't have the main piece that you need to be successful in the NFL, which would be quarterback. And they reached the year before and got a guy who, if you really looked at what he brought to the table, there aren't too many quarterbacks under 6 feet that have success in the NFL. Man, if you ever watch Texas A&M play Louisiana State University or the University of Florida, you probably would have saw when he was going up against real secondary that he had issues. But they didn't see all of that. I don't know what they saw. And they draft this guy, and he can't play for them. So,
yeah.
They still got a ways to go, but the next regime that comes in, it will be able to have a good foundation to go from. So, good for them. I think that I would talk about weaknesses, but I already covered that pretty much. And Browns fans, I'm going to spare you and not dwell on this anymore. I give the Cleveland Browns a 2-14 record. They're fighting for that number one position, which they'll probably be in the running for a quarterback next year. So maybe there's somebody that comes out that they may want to get. So good job on being in the fight for the pole position. Cleveland Browns fans, get ready to enjoy another miserable year. What do you got, Mr. 411?
Well, thanks for passing the baton, and I'm just going to go ahead and pile on. You say Cleveland Pound, Dog Pound, you look forward to a miserable year. Look forward to a cold, miserable year up by the lake. Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. I'm going to give them 3 wins. So 3-13 is the record.
That's possible.
Yeah, 3-13, you know. That's where I feel Cleveland's going to fall. They have, again, the secondary. I like the pickup of Tremont Williams out of Green Bay, and you pair him with Hayden. That's an excellent, you know, corner tandem. But unfortunately, that's just not going to be enough. They're playing in a tough division. You're playing with veteran teams. The quarterback situation is just, I mean, come on, Johnny B. Good. I don't think so. Johnny B. Bad. So,
yeah.
You know, that's just not going to get it done. One of the promising weapons that they did have, who's no longer there, is the tight end. You know, Jordan Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, athletic tight end. Young guy, had good arms. Now, he did get injured, but, you know, when he was healthy, he showed great promise, and he's no longer there. The running game is just a little too suspect for me. A lot of, like we touched on earlier, a lot of good backs, but they're young. And so you have no idea where that's going to go. So Cleveland, 3-13, enjoy the cold beer along with the cold weather. The next team that we're going to cover are the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Baltimore, there were three teams that made the playoffs in the AFC North, and Baltimore was one of those three. However, after, you know, they defeated Pittsburgh Steelers in the wild card round last year, and they lost to New England, you know, in the following round. And we know that there was little Tom Brady issues there and Belichick, you know, but, you know, they got outsmarted by those guys and couldn't advance past them. Now, the offensive coordinator, Gary Kubiak, he's no longer there. He's in Denver, where he used to play quarterback. So there's a lot of question marks here in Baltimore, and I'm going to pass this over to Lacey.
Okay.
And I want you to let the fans know how you feel about the Ravens for the 2015 okay. campaign.
Sure. Okay. Well, for Baltimore, just to start with them, I find them to be pretty boring. There's just not a lot going on in Baltimore. They haven't made a whole lot
okay.
of moves, you know, one way or the other. They haven't lost a lot. They haven't gained a lot. They've added Matt Schaub as a backup for Flacco. You know, I don't, you know, Flacco is, he's all right. He's nothing exciting, nothing fancy. Baltimore has lived by their defense for as long as I can remember. And, you know, that's, it's not as good as it used to be, but it's still better than it's still good enough to get the job done against most teams. So their defense is going to always have them in the game. But once again, that tough division that they're in, coupled with the tough divisions that they're going to have to play this year, things are not going to go their way more often than not. And I say that because even though they have their running game, which they've had, you know, they pride themselves on that. And Flacco doesn't have to do as much as a lot of other quarterbacks in that regard because they feature the run.
Right,
but when I looked at their depth chart, and I looked at some of the they got rid of Torrey Smith and Owen Daniels, Dennis Pitta and Jacoby Jones. That's out of their kind of receiving core that wasn't particularly prolific to start with. So I'm looking at what they have left, and I say, okay, here's Steve Smith, and he has declared that this is his last year, so we expect that he's probably going to show out as much as he can.
Mm-hmm.
Is Steve Smith and Brashad Perriman and a rookie?
Yeah.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. There's a new tight end. He's also a rookie. I'm looking at the depth chart, and I'm having a hard time understanding what they think that is going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when I looked at it, I looked at the depth chart some more. There's some other people, most of whom I've never heard of, that are kind of waiting in the wings, but this is who they're going with. The Perriman and Steve Smith, that's pretty much it. So
that doesn't sound like much.
I mean, Steve Smith, you know, Zach's time capsule again, you know, he was the guy, and he still has flashes of brilliance, but he's older now, and when you got this rookie, and that's pretty much, you know, although to be fair, it's early enough where there's still time for some changes. But I just don't foresee good things happening in their offense. Joe Flacco isn't exciting to start with. He's not asked to do a lot, so he doesn't do much. Baltimore, their defense is not as good as it used to be. In my opinion, their offense is now not as good as it used to be. And they've got really tough opponents this year. I feel like they're going to end up something like 8-8. I know that they have the potential to do better, but they've had the potential to do better. Because of their name, you think they're going to do better. But I think they're going to be something like 8-8, and they're not going to make the playoffs.
Wow.
They just don't have enough firepower. That's my
mm-hmm.
opinion. Because they're playing the NFC West and the AFC West, and they're playing in their division, They're gonna lose some games they shouldn't because they just don't have the firepower. That is my opinion. And oh, I'm sorry. And as far as fantasy goes, this is a team that I Justin Forsett, go for it. Steve Smith, I would take a chance on him in maybe round four. Flacco, he's always available in round, let's say round eight. So if you need a backup quarterback and you're desperate, he's not going to have a good year. He's playing tough teams that have good defenses, and so there's not going to be a lot of scoring to go around. He may win the game, but in fantasy he will kill your team.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my last word on that.
Okay. We waiting on you, Zach?
Well, Ravens fans, this is why I'm on the show. Because I'm going to talk to you about football. Not fantasy football. It does all these things that don't matter when we start talking about W's and L's.
Yeah, it takes all kinds.
I'm going to talk to you about actual football.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, what we always start with when we look at who's going to be successful in the NFL, who's not going to be successful, we look at the coach-quarterback combination. John Harbaugh, one of the better coaches in the NFL that nobody probably knows about, because all he does on most years is get his team to the playoffs, win a playoff game, and he has a Super Bowl. Not a whole lot of individuals walking around in the NFL that can say that. So you already know they're going to have an excellent structure as far as what they're going to do week in and week out. Add to that, when you start talking about Ozzie Newsome as the GM and even Steve Bisciotti as the owner, that right there is what the organization is built off of. Those three guys at a different level, making moves, doing things that the average, ordinary fan that's going to be caught up in fantasy or whatever else because they don't see the big-time free agent or whatever, isn't going to really get. But as I said, that's why I'm here. Next, we move on to what's even more important than probably the coach, GM, or the owner, is a guy that lines up behind center and takes snaps every day. For every week, which is Joe Flacco. And once again, if you listen to Skip Bayless or individuals like that, you're going to hear they call him Fluco. But
what do they call him?
I charge you, Fluco.
Oh, I like that. I hadn't heard that.
Joe Fluco. Okay.
I will be calling him that from now on.
Well, you can call him that. And if you want to call him that in the regular season, you might have some credence to it because he doesn't put up – he's not Aaron Rodgers. But guess what? Nobody else on the planet is Aaron Rodgers either. So if you want Aaron Rodgers' numbers for him, not going to happen. He's also not Andrew Luck. But once again, guess what? Neither is anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get those type of numbers. You only got a select few guys that are actually like that. But what Joe Flacco is a guy – that wins playoff games, and not only wins playoff games, he wins playoff games on the road. So he's a seasoned quarterback, and he plays his best football when it actually matters, which is in the playoffs. Does he need to get better in the regular season? Absolutely. But he does just enough with the help of coach, GM, owner, to get them to the playoffs. If you got any complaint about the Ravens, it's the fact that they haven't necessarily won the division enough, and they've had to play on the road, which playing at home would be easier for them, to make a serious run more often than not. But all they do is, as I said, make to the playoffs. And if we, you know, backtrack over the past few years, they've gone into New England, won games. They went to Denver, won games, and route to the Super Bowl. And Joe Flacco was amazing. Last year, actually, in the playoffs, at New England, things kind of came apart when Flacco teetered. So he had a bad game. But once again, if you look around, quarterbacks in the playoffs and NFL, especially on the road, tend to have bad games a lot. So I just charge everybody, don't just look at the stats, because ultimately quarterbacks are judged on wins and losses. And when we start talking about who has a Super Bowl in the NFL, Joe Flacco can raise his hand and say, hey, I got a Super Bowl. And he can also say, all I do is get my team to the playoffs almost every year and win a game. And then the bad year they had was an 8-8 year. So quarterback is a strength once playoff season starts. So, and the Ravens will be in the playoffs, so good job on that, Ravens. Then we add Gary Kubiak did do an outstanding job in Baltimore last year with the running game and how he called plays, and well-deserved that he gets the head coaching job at Denver. And he will probably do a pretty good job there. But believe it or not, once again, we listening to individuals that aren't really into the football aspect of everything. Mark Trestman is a very good offensive coordinator. And notice I say offensive coordinator, not head coach, because some guys are coordinators, some guys are head coaches. Just like some people should be your wife, and some people you should be just individually dating and have fun with. Mark Trestman is a coordinator. You don't make him the head man.
You don't marry him.
No, but he can be a coordinator, and he can do a good job. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to stick to the running game. And the one thing we know about the NFL is running backs are kind of like shoes. You put a pair on today, and you put a different pair on tomorrow. And that's what Justin Forsett is right now. He's a new pair of shoes for the Raiders. They probably can squeeze one more season out of him probably. And that's what they're probably going to try and do, squeeze another season out of him. And the running game should be fine. Add to the fact that the Ravens have a pretty solid offensive line. That goes unnoticed because they're the big uglies. People want to talk about the flashy receivers and all this other stuff. But you win in the trenches with your offensive line and your defensive line, establishing that, because if you can't push the other guy, then it's hard to win. So,
Speaking of winning, how many games do you see them winning?
Oh, well, we're not there yet. Right, this is going to go a little long. Sorry, because I'm trying to explain to the football fans exactly about the Ravens and what they can expect for this team. So now you got that. Add to the fact, Steve Smith, he's older, but he's going to be a solid option, and he's going to get down the field. What did the Ravens do? They went out and got Perriman, as you brought up earlier. He can run. He does exactly what Torrey Smith does, but he's going to be at a cheaper cost. He's going to run the deep routes. Joe Flacco, who has one of the strongest arms in the league, is going to be able to get the ball there. Now, when we look at their bread and butter, you said defense is not like what it was. Well, of course it's not. You don't have Ray Lewis. You don't have Ed Reed running back there anymore. You don't have those guys. Those guys are first ballot Hall of Famers. But what you do have is you still have a solid group of individuals back there at linebacker, and you got some good people on the defensive line. C.J. Mosley made the Pro Bowl as a rookie last year out of Alabama. He's going to be a good starter. You got Dumerville, and you got my boy, how is he slipping my name now? The other defensive end, other linebacker.
It's okay.
Big Sexy. Oh, that's okay. You're right.
The other one.
But, yes, the other one. Hey, it'll come to me in a minute. But they're going to cause a significant pass rush on individuals, which is going to cause a problem. Now you add Timmy Jernigan, Brandon Williams on the defensive line. Those are two young guys that you don't know yet. But guess what? You're going to get to know them this year. Because they're going to help fill in for Haloti Ngata and cause some issues. And what they also did is they brought in Kendrick Lewis from Kansas City to help solidify the defensive backfield, and they get Jimmy Smith back from injury. So do they have some issues? The offensive firepower isn't going to be where they want it to be. But overall, the Ravens are going to be a very solid team. Now, you asked me about their record earlier. The Ravens are going to finish 12-4. They're going to win the division, and they will be the number two seed in the AFC. And I'll talk to you about what they're going to do playoff time as we move later on. And the other defensive end or the other linebacker is Terrell Suggs. You have to give me. I was so excited about getting this information now, I just didn't. Lost track of it. But 12-4, they're going to win the division, and good things are going to happen. And I can tell you why they're going to win the division when we talk about Cincinnati Pittsburgh. So there you go, Mr. 411. I know that was a little long, but I really had to give Baltimore fans a good observation of their team and outlook so they can know what to expect. So Baltimore fans, get your popcorn ready, as T.O. would say.
Well, Zach, that was very impressive.
Thank you.
You know, just to let the fans know, the listeners know, who is your favorite NFL team?
Well, you know, I like fantasy sports, so I can't say I have a favorite team. I was a big-time Houston Oilers fan when I was growing up. But if you gave me a team that I'd probably pull for, I'd probably pull for the Ravens, but believe me.
That's shocking.
I'm being totally objective. This is based on football. This isn't based on – I could have got more into it, but
– No, I don't think you could.
You went far enough. And And, you know, I didn't realize that segment was sponsored by Comedy Central. But that was great information, Zach.
Hey, well, good thing is we'll be able to go back to these.
We will.
12-4.
You heard it here first, okay?
They will.
You heard it here first, listeners. 12-4 Baltimore Ravens.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'll give you all my take on the Ravens.
Sure.
Okay. My take on the Ravens, and I have a theme for the Ravens, and the key word is transition. I believe that this team is a team that's in transition. They have a solid quarterback, veteran quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They have a excellent head coach in Harbaugh. There's no doubt in that. Zach, you nailed it on the head. Coaching, management, quarterback position, they're solid there. And one of these days, the Ravens are going to make it back to that Super Bowl. But I just don't believe that that day will come in the 2015-2016 season. I have them at 8-8, and I will explain why. They have a mixture of veterans. I like Forsett, and this is one of those times where you know how your mom would get mad at you for doing this, but the Forsett needs to run. They need to run with this guy, and they're going to be effective on the ground. The defense is tough, so the Ravens will be in games. However, I'm going to go back to my thing. Transition. When you lose Torrey Smith, Owen Daniels, Jacoby Jones,
Dennis Pitta,
Naha, when you lose these players like that, and then Steve Smith is going to retire this year, and you bring in younger guys, to me that spells transition. And the Ravens, though they'll be competitive, I just don't see them making it over that 8-8 mark. I do have them at 8-8 because I do believe in their coaching. I do love their quarterback, and I love their toughness. So the Ravens, you're going to have a tough competitive season, but I see you finishing at 8-8. The Ravens having enough this year to split with the Steelers and to split with the Bengals. So Ravens, I have you at 8-8.
Hey, I'm sorry, Mr. 411, before we move on. But is it safe to say that throughout the years, Joe Flacco has not been one of your favorite quarterbacks?
Early on in his career, I definitely would agree with that.
Is it safe to say that you probably don't give him much credit for the playoff wins and even the Super Bowl win?
I believe that. You know, the Ravens were relying mostly on their defense and their run game. Now, Flacco, to me, is an excellent quarterback. I didn't say he was not a good quarterback, but to me, the strength of the Ravens was defense and running the football. That kept the team in game, kept it close enough. And Flacco, he's done a great job with managing the team, with making key plays. But if you're asking me what the strength of the Ravens are, the identity of the Ravens, what it has been, through the years is defense and running that football.
Okay. Don't like flash up. Gotcha. Don't worry about it, Raiders fan. 12-4, number 2 seed.
Well, I think Lacey D and I are going to hit that nail on the head with the 8-8 record, but we'll see. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're going to lay it out there, and we'll find out in a couple months. Another team that is very intriguing in this division, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals last year they were hit with a lot of key injuries, especially with wide receiver AJ Green, Georgia Bulldog. Special Mickey Happy Zach.
Yes, he is.
And also with the tight end Eifert and another receiver in Marvin Jones. So, you know, they had a lot of injuries at the wide receiver position. The Red Rocket, you know, he was up and down last season. But they did manage to make the playoffs. And, you know, they show a lot of great promise. Lacey, tell us your thoughts on the Bengals for 2015.
The Bengals, I feel, are a team that doesn't quite get the, I won't call it respect that they deserve, but they are actually a better team, at least on paper, than they get credit for. Dalton, of course, is really the key to their success for this upcoming season. You know, because he's, as you said, he's up and down. If he can be more up and down, you know, I feel like Cincinnati really has the weapons. They have it on the defensive side, and their offense has the weapons. If they can find a way to execute to get Dalton to a place where he's comfortable and he can get the ball where it needs to be consistently.
Okay.
I feel like Cincinnati is in my opinion, more likely to win that division than any other team. That is my opinion.
Okay.
Because they have a really offensive attack. They have a good defense. You know, they're not in this division. You know, where Pittsburgh and Baltimore are not the powerhouse defenses that they used to be. So, because you're going to play these guys over and over, you know, twice each, you know, the fact that their defenses probably won't be able to hold them like they could back in the day. Baltimore doesn't have the kind of offense that's going to keep up with you. And Cincinnati does have the potential to have a really explosive offense. Cleveland, you know, they're going to have problems putting points on the board. Now Pittsburgh, of course, is going to go ahead and engage in that shootout. But I think Cincinnati's defense may you know, can curb some of that effect. I don't know if they can actually beat Pittsburgh twice, but I feel like they can beat them once. And once again, you know, this you know, they're playing AFC West and the NFC West. You know, I feel like they're going to win half of those games. So, I feel like they're going to win half of those games, and I feel like they're going to do better in their division than it looks like they will today. When I look at them on paper, they've got AJ Green and Marvin Jones and Sanu, whatever his name is, the tight end. Dalton has everything lined up to be successful. If they can get his head on straight, I think they're there, and I think they can win this division. My number for them is 10-6. It really is, because they have the firepower to do it, and they have the defense to be competitive. So that's my take on Cincy. And as far as fantasy goes, you can pretty much draft any of these guys at some point. AJ Green obviously is a top 10. Marvin Jones, I believe, is top 20, if not 15. Tyler Eifert is the tight end. He's clearly, you know, I believe he's top 10 or top 12.
Okay.
And, of course, Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard, you know, that's a no-brainer right there. They're going to be in the mix. So the defense is decent. And
do you see Jeremy Hill and Bernard as a committee or do you?
Well, they're a committee,
like
but
the main back and then like a thunder and lightning combo.
Well, I feel like they're a committee, but they're a committee in the best sense of that you know how that plays out. You know, Bernard is the one that does all the catching the balls, and you know, I mean, they it's a timeshare to be sure. It's a committee. It's a timeshare, but they both, you know, are getting good mileage out of it. They're both getting good numbers out of it. I've had both of them on different teams last year, and Hill was the, you know, he outscored him at least when I needed him to. But they were both very, very good options. So fantasy wise, you're gonna. I found that Hill was the more consistent option, but you could go with either one of them. But if Cincinnati can get Dalton's head chewed on straight, I think they win their division.
Okay.
So.
What do you think, Zach?
Well, just to be clear, since somebody tried to say I wasn't being objective. I actually think Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore are all the same team. The only thing that's making a difference in the win total for these guys this year is a schedule. And if you look at it, Baltimore actually has an easier schedule out of all of these guys. Because, and I'll just go ahead and the Bengals are going to finish 11-5. They'll finish in second place in the AFC North. And the reason why they're going to finish 11-5 instead of 12-4 is because they have to go to Buffalo, whereas the Baltimore Ravens get to play Jacksonville, and they get to play Miami.
Wow,
that is a big advantage for Baltimore because the rest of the schedule is the same. That makes a ton of difference. Now, if we're actually looking at the Bengals have some awesome talent. And if I was to revise my pick, the Bengals would win the Super Bowl if Bill Belichick was the head coach. Because he would know what to do with Andy Dalton.
Oh yeah.
He would feed, but
he would also know the whole playbook of the Steelers, Ravens and Browns, too, right?
Whatever you got to do to win, because
those balls would be deflated just right.
And they'll blame.
He still got a Super Bowl. You don't take him away in the pros; you take him back in college, not the pros. But they have receivers with AJ Green, fantasy monster, Sanu.
Yeah.
Marvin
yeah.
Jones is a solid. Tyler Eifert,
right.
Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Hill is a very good young running back. They have a nice offensive line. When you start going to the defense, they have Geno Atkins, who's also a former Georgia Bulldog. Secondary is very good. The guy they had out of Alabama, they drafted him back. You got some, you know, some so-so linebackers, not household names, but they okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with the NFL now is this ain't the 70s and this ain't the 80s where you could go out there and run the ball 40, 50 times and hide your quarterback.
Yeah.
Your quarterback has to be able to play. And Andy Dalton, he's just, you know, if you're going to call Joe Flacco Fluco, Andy Dalton, he's just average.
I am going to.
He's just a guy.
Can you imagine Flacco with the weapons that Dalton has?
He'd be much better.
That would be a Super Bowl team. Yeah.
Dalton is almost like how it is in the NBA, where he's good enough so you're not in the lottery, but he's not good enough so you win a title.
Right.
Is he the Joe Johnson of quarterbacks?
That would be a good way to put it. He could possibly be, because he's not bad, but he's just not at times going to get it done. Well, you need to. Now, it's not all his fault, because I'm going to throw another culprit in there. And even though he's a strength, he's a weakness. And because he's a fancy monster, he gets over. He's got a brother in He's got a brother in Atlanta that would fall into the same boat. AJ Green makes all of the catches and all of the highlights except when you need them. Go back to the Pittsburgh game last year when he got hurt or whatever on a play, coming across the middle after he dropped the ball or something. So AJ Green is awesome when they're playing against the Cleveland Browns, and that game doesn't necessarily matter. If we're closing out the division against Pittsburgh or Baltimore, and we really need him to make plays, you know, he didn't make a play against Baltimore last year. Somehow, some way, he's not going to show up. Somehow, some way, he's going to drop that circus catch or whatever, then whatever. He's not dead. He's not showing up for those games when you need him. And that's what ultimately is going to get them. And if you look at the coach, quarterback combination, Marvin Lewis, he's a very good guy. Good head coach.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
Uh-oh.
All that other stuff. But
okay.
I mean, he's not that guy. He's not an individual that you can look at and say, hey, he's gonna be holding the Super Bowl trophy at the end of the year. He may I'm not gonna say that he's a coordinator, because I do think he's a guy that you can marry. It's hard to win games in the NFL, and he has won games in the NFL, but he's also not the, I guess, the wife that you would just get really excited about. He does a lot of stuff, but he doesn't necessarily do a whole lot of stuff great. But still good to come home to. He's just, If you could ever get a better model upgrade, you would. But right now you can't. So, as I said, they'll be 11-5, and 11-5 is going to be good. Unfortunately, this year, that's going to get you the number 5 seed in the playoffs.
Wow. Well, to piggyback just a little bit off of some of the things that you guys have mentioned with the Bengals, the offense, I'm on board with you guys. They have the weaponry on offense to put up some points, to entertain those fans. And Andy Dalton, he'll have a solid season next year, especially statistically, he will. I'm going to have to go out there on a limb and just have a hunch that he's going to, you know, mature and learn from some of these heartaches. You know, a couple of years here now, the Bengals have, went home in the first round to – you know, to Houston a couple times, and, you know, after winning the division here and there. So I think it's time that Cincinnati steps it up this year. Now, on the defensive end, they need to improve on their pass rush. You know, they had the league low with 20 sacks last year. They need to up that so they can put more pressure on these teams and, you know, cause some more turnovers. In the secondary, now the secondary is tough. You know, they gave up the third fewest passing touchdowns last year. So if they can just work on, you know, get that pass rush going, maybe that's something Coach Marvin can get going there. And you know, because he was a defense coordinator in the Ravens' heyday, so he needs to get that going. With all that said, I have the Cincinnati Bengals winning 10 games this year. That means they will have to lose 6, and they will finish 2nd in the division. And what I find interesting about our predictions with the Bengals is that we have a first-place finish, we have 2 second-place finishes, but we have a first-place finish with them winning 10 games, and we have a second-place finish with them winning 11 games. I just find that interesting, and that just kind of summarizes, you know, the NFC North and how competitive this division will be, especially near the top. And but I do see Cincinnati finishing 2nd. The team that we're going to cover next by process of elimination just so happens to be the team that actually won the division last year, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. However, they did get eliminated the following week by losing to their rival and Zach's team, Baltimore Ravens. Lacey,
Well,
what are your predictions?
Steve Brichetti's team, but go ahead.
Well, when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's hard to count them out. However, they've lost quite a bit, actually, from last year to this year. Their defense is much weaker than it was. I mean, they got some people in that they can maybe shore up some of their holes, but it's not looking great. It's looking beatable, is what I will say. And
okay.
And you know, having said that, you know, their offense, of course, you know, they have a juggernaut, you know, Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. There is that's a hard combination to beat.
That's right.
But you know, Mr. Bell is going to miss a couple of games. And, you know, but they did bring in D'Angelo Williams, which, you know, he's a good name. You know, I don't know. I don't think that he can do what Mr. Bell is doing. I don't feel like he fills that hole that way. I don't think he's ever been that guy, you know.
Right.
But he'll be somebody that they can throw in there until Bell gets back. But this is a new year, you know. Last year he came out of nowhere and surprised everybody, you know. Well, maybe he didn't necessarily come out of nowhere, but he surprised everybody with how good he was. I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell. This year there's always the drop off. You know, when you have that monster rookie year, there's a drop-off because people have the off-season to study the films, and they figure some things out. I think that's going to happen. So the combination of Bell not being as effective as he was last year and the defense not being as effective as it was last year is going to translate to not winning some games that they might have won last year. And this year, having a much tougher schedule, you know, as always, that division is tough just to stand around in it. That's going to be tough. But, you know, you got the NFC West and the AFC West, and you've got
right.
a suspect defense, and your running game is not going to be what it was. Now, Big Ben is going to be up there chucking, you know, like his life depends on it, which is going to be fine. But, you know, even if you look at his numbers last year, he had two monster games that skewed the whole thing. It skewed everything, because if you looked at the pattern inside the numbers, he didn't have as good a year as it looked like. And he had a couple of really great games, and the rest of them were average. Average, and some of them were way on the low end of average, because the running game was so good. So he's going to have a couple of games. There's going to be a couple of people. You know, he's going to look good against Oakland. You know, he's not going to look as great. You know, there's some people in the AFC North that Pittsburgh absolutely owns. I think they own Cincinnati. However good they are, they can't seem to get over that particular hurdle. But this year, I think they might. I think they won't do any better than split with Cincinnati. I think that Cleveland has got the Joe Hayden factor. That's always a problem. You know, Baltimore, not as good as they were, but they've got their defense is weaker, but it's still really good. You know, and Pittsburgh's defense is just nowhere near what it's been. Then when you're having to play Seattle and San Francisco and Arizona and Kansas City and San Diego and Denver, this is going to be a whole different kind of look for Pittsburgh. I find them, my calculations have them at 9-7. That is why I had Cincinnati winning the league, because I feel like
wow.
Pittsburgh takes a couple of steps back. Well, takes a big
okay.
step back.
Okay.
And as far as fantasy wise, Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, those are all good options, but in real life, in Zach's world, Pittsburgh takes a big step back to me. So,
interesting.
Have at it.
Well, would just say, if you're a Madden fan, Pittsburgh is going to be one of those teams you would like to grab on Madden, because they are really going to be able to put up some offensive fireworks. Once again, I just like to kind of start with when you go to those foundation pieces, mm-hmm. and the Steelers would be one of the premier organizations in the NFL when it comes to consistency, managing the salary cap, making draft picks, just for the most part, behavior within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
They're up there with the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
and
really?
They make things happen. Those are organizations that find ways to win consistently and win at a high level. Now, Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben has two Super Bowls. Tomlin has one. They are a good combination coach quarterback. So,
mm-hmm.
once again, you know what you're going to kind of get from them consistently week in, week out. Then you add
mm-hmm.
in some of the people that you talked about. Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Marcus
mm-hmm.
Wheaton.
Mm-hmm.
You got their tight end. Offensive line is
Heath Miller,
offensive line is okay. Le'Veon Bell, good started running back. D'Angelo Williams, very good guy to have coming in as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
That offense should put up 30 points a week. So, once again, you should get your popcorn ready if you're Steelers fans, because you're going to get to be able to see a show.
Another mm-hmm. T.O. reference.
Yep. Now, defensively, unfortunately, they are going to have to trot those guys out there occasionally. Problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because you lost some leaders from last year's defense, like Polamalu. Secondary has been an issue for the last few years, and
mm-hmm.
they're still restructuring that. So they don't necessarily have guys that are going to be able to hold up against elite or a good receivers as of right now. So they're going to have to do a combination of things. Add to the fact they got rid of their defensive coordinator, Dick LeBeau, because they didn't feel like he was doing the job, but it's hard to do a job when you got pieces like that. So I actually think that's going to be a transition, because the guy that's coming in can't know as much as Dick LeBeau. Their linebackers,
that's an excellent point.
They got mm-hmm. linebackers that have good potential, but they haven't realized that potential. Ryan Sager out of Ohio State. Had some difficulties last year as a
mm-hmm.
as a linebacker playing. Jarvis Jones out of University of Georgia has had his issues, hasn't established self. They drafted Bud Dupree out of Kentucky to help them with the linebacker core. And
yeah, I like that pick. Mm-hmm.
It's a good pick, but he's a rookie. It's going to be it's a transition. And this isn't a league, you know, Pittsburgh's expectations aren't kind of rebuilding. Their expectations are coming in play, help us compete for a title. So that's different than what you get with a lot of teams. So
right.
Mm-hmm.
Defenses would be their weakness. I have them finishing 10-6. And the main reason that they're going to finish 10-6 is because, unfortunately for them, outside of playing against the AFC West and then having to play against the NFC West and their division,
mm-hmm.
they also get to go play against New England, which may or may not have Tom Brady, which that would cut them a break, and they get to play against the Colts at Indy.
Mm-hmm.
They've probably got the most difficult schedule in football. So
yeah, that's pretty
they're
ugly.
They're going to finish 10-6, and they're not going to make the playoffs. But the Steelers very well could be better than they were last year, and they're just not going to make the playoffs because they have just a monster of a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, Mr. 411.
All right. That's a very interesting take there on the Steelers, Zach. And there's a lot of
I'm sorry. I said they had to go to Indy. They have Indy at home, but I still got that marker that's lost. That secondary won't be able to handle that light show that's coming at them.
Okay, so they can play that game anywhere. Okay, so a lot of valid points there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just cut straight to the chase. I have the Steelers at 11-5.
Ooh.
I have them winning the division. I feel like something's brewing here. I clearly believe that they're the best offensive team in the division. One, their weakness will be at the defensive end, but I do like the acquisition of Brandon Boykin, thanks to our favorite coach, Chip Kelly. So I think that's going to be a plus. Drafting Bud Dupree, that's going to be a solid pick. Zach, you mentioned Shazier and Jarvis Jones. If they can stay healthy, I believe that that would also improve their defense. It won't be at the upper tier on defense, but with that offense and the way they're going to put points up, they just need to be able to pin their ears back and make the key stops. I just feel like overall that the Bengals, though they're talented, I feel like they're just going to fall short in the head-to-head matchup with Pittsburgh, which ultimately, in my opinion, will separate the two teams. So,
and
this there you have it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
411. Before we move on, let me just point out some key things about the Steelers' schedule so fans can just understand. Week 3 at the Rams. Week 5 at San Diego. Week 7 at Kansas City. Week 12 at Seattle. Week 14 at Cincinnati. Week 16 and 17, you're at Baltimore and at Cleveland. The only gimme that they might have on that on their at is Cleveland. Just to kind of point out what type of schedule that is.
And that's a great point, Zach. However, you never know who's going to be available at the time that that game is played. So there's a lot of factors. There's a lot of factors. Well, in this game of football, let's say a player sprains an ankle, and they're out for 3 weeks. Well, that's almost a third of the season.
Well, that can happen to anybody, yeah.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. These certain games could, when they at one point in time they look like it might be, the worst game you can, the worst opponent you could have, it might turn out to be the best opponent that you can have.
That is a terrible point to make. That can happen to anybody.
It's
not
a great point.
You can't count on that.
And that's why we can't just exactly go by just what's on the paper.
Well, right, but that can go for you or against you. So it's kind of a moot point.
That's my point.
The point is that it's a moot point.
Exactly.
Basically, my point is you have said absolutely nothing.
I said the same thing that we just said.
Well,
because Tom Brady may or may not play versus Pittsburgh. So now the game versus New England, that's a much better matchup now.
Well, where's Le'Veon Bell going to be? He may not play
in
that game either.
But he's not Tom Brady.
Well, he's been a big part of their success.
Well,
and Tom Brady,
has
been trying to run the ball more than they used to. Tom Brady hasn't been that kind of factor. Not last year, he wasn't.
They still have Antonio Brown, and they still have Big Ben. And Pittsburgh has proven through the years that they can pick up a big back that can fill in when needed. They have a history of having some serviceable backs. So, yes, Bell won't
be
there
right.
for the first two games.
Because he did really great for whoever he was playing for before, right?
Well, Carolina. Yeah, he had a decent time there. So, he's not Bell. He's definitely not Bell.
He was in a committee. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He played well in a committee, but that's not what he's being asked to do here.
Yeah.
But, okay,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We're going to do a review show after the season is over.
Absolutely.
Look at who predicted
what. I can't wait to see how the Ravens finish this year.
Oh, I just told you 12-4, number 2 seed in the AFC. Book it.
Bam, you better book that. Zach, that's a very bold prediction. I'm proud of you for making that, for stepping out there and making that prediction. How about this, peeps? Today is August the 12th, 2015, but on this date, on this particular date, how can San Francisco versus Denver have some importance?
Huh?
Well, San Francisco versus Denver in football. How can an August matchup between San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos have any importance?
No idea.
It can't.
Well, it was a preseason game. However, in 1994, this was the first NFL game on Fox Network.
Ah.
But it was a preseason game.
Yes, it was. But if,
and
so
it was
if you're
on
under,
Fox. So.
Yeah.
But when Fox
I take off points for that.
When Fox took the NFC or whatever from, I want
CBS,
to say CBS,
yeah.
wasn't it? Or was
yeah.
it NBC?
Yeah, CBS.
That changed things up. So that was big.
Yeah. And then also, Lacey, you'll love this one because this is one of the players that was close to your heart. You know, former New York Giant. Someone has a special birthday from that Giant organization. And
New York Giants.
Yeah. Take a
you
while.
Know, there's been a lot of Giants,
again.
Right?
Yeah. But this one is infamously known for something.
Lawrence Taylor?
One more guess.
Strahan? I don't
He's
know.
He's infamously
infamous.
Known for something.
Infamously.
Michael Burris?
Plaxico. Today is Plaxico's birthday. He was
Do
born
you honestly
August 12th,
think anybody besides Plaxico cares?
Well, I would think that you being the Giant lover.
Won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you remember that big catch against
Why
the
Patriots. Why
did
I care when
Patriots.
His birthday is? That's
well,
funny.
That's sad.
Is
you
it?
Just let Giant,
we might
you just
we
let
might
Giant
be
Nation down.
Show. Yeah, we might be yeah. able to get him on the show. Happy birthday, Plax.
I'm pretty sure
Happy
he's not
birthday,
doing anything.
Plax.
Exactly.
That's he ain't doing a damn thing.
Come on in.
Don't Plax yourself.
He may be at the, was it the target practice? Trying not to shoot in his ass. Stupid ass. What a dumbass.
Well.
No. Well, happy birthday, Plaxico.
Yeah, happy birthday, Plax. Don't Plaxico yourself.
He's laughing all the way to the bank, probably, you know. He did get paid.
So.
You know.
I hope so.
But,
well, on behalf of Lacey and Zach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Mr. 411, and we thank you for listening to our AFC North Division preview.
Yes, thank you.
We hope you enjoy, and we want you to look forward to our next show when we cover more divisions.
Which one?
What we want you to do, fans, we want you to log in. Log on to www.411.com, and we want you to vote. Cast your vote. Let us know. By close of business on August 13th, let us know by midnight that which division you would like for us to cover.
Uh-huh. Yeah, do that.
Well, thank you for listening, and have a great night.
Thank you.
Go Dawgs.
Good night.